to come back to the book of 2 Thessalonians, trying to finish this book up here, which we started last year. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, just having you stand for a few seconds here as we read God's word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verse number 8 this evening. We'll be looking probably just at one verse this evening here in 2 Thessalonians, and it's verse number 8 of chapter 2. The Bible says here, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for that precious blood. Thank you for the victory that we have in you, dear God. Lord, help us to live in the light of it. Help us to go forward in the power and strength of your might. And Lord, just be a light, an example, and a testimony to this world. Lord, help us now, dear God. I pray you'd open our eyes and our ears to receive what's contained in your word. And Lord, just lead, guide, and direct in everything that's said and done. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated here. So for way of context, I'm going to go back to verse number 1 of chapter 2. So I'm going to read again here in chapter 2, verse number 1, up to verse number 8. Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now that is the Antichrist. Verse 4. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he," the Antichrist, "as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." You know, one of the ways we know that the Bible is true and the word that we're reading is true is because Paul tells these people about 2,000 years ago that there's going to come a time when a man's going to come on the scene. He's going to act like he's God. He's going to claim to be God, but he's going to do it in the temple of God. Well, guess what, brethren? We don't have a temple right now. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. So what that does it tell you? Now, either God's lying through his word, or the Jews are going to rebuild a temple again. Now, I want you to realize that prior to 1948, so from about 70 AD, 70 years into when Christ Jesus was born, in 70 AD, the temple that the Jews worshipped over there in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman army. The temple was destroyed over there in Israel. The Jews were driven out and they ceased to become a nation. Brethren, if you were to get a map in 1945, right after World War II, you would look at a map and there would be no nation of Israel on that map. There was no nation of Israel. It did not exist. But in 1948, a miracle took place according to the word of God. All of a sudden now you have a Jewish nation and a nation of Israel comes back into existence again. But there's only one problem. Since 1948 up to 2023, there's one problem, one major, huge problem for the Jewish people is that they don't have a temple to worship in. They cannot do what God commanded them to do in the Old Testament because they do not have the temple. It was destroyed, 70 AD. But Paul here, under the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit, has him penned down that the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, there is going to be another temple over there rebuilt that he's going to go into and he's going to proclaim to be God 3.5 years into the tribulation. And wouldn't you know it, if you do a little bit of research on the internet, just a little bit, or you're realizing and what's coming to pass is they're getting ready to try to rebuild that third temple. Yes, sir. They got everything set up. There's a society called the Temple Mount Institute or Temple Mount Society. And they're all about trying to get that third temple rebuilt. The only problem is God's holding them off right now. But they got the priestly garments all set up. They got all the instruments that they need. There's even a school for these priests to go to now to learn how to do animal sacrifices again, so that when the temple comes back into existence, they can run right back into that and start doing animal sacrifices, just like the Bible said. You know what I found interesting this week? I saw a news article and I clicked into it because it was just approved. I think it was Detroit. In the city of Detroit, it was just approved by the city council for animal sacrifices to be done. Yes. By Muslims. Because they sacrifice animals as well for their religion. And so wouldn't you know that most of the committee on the city there is made up of Muslims. And they passed it. Now you got to get a permit. You got to pay so much money, blah, 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 blah. But it's coming. It's coming. And so the Bible says here that there's going to be a temple rebuilt and they're getting ready to do it, but there's some things withholding that thing. Now, verse 5, little rabbit trail there. Verse number 5, remember ye not, Paul talking to the church there, he says, remember ye not that when I was with you, when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse number 8 now tonight. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That wicked is the Antichrist, but it makes me wonder, and we're going to look at a few scriptures tonight. I'm going to be looking tonight, basically the sermon tonight is going to be on Satan. Preaching a message on Satan tonight. It was interesting. We were holding signs out there this Saturday, bit cold outside. And I was holding my sign there, and all of a sudden, a woman pulled up beside me, and she rolled down her window. So I went over, and she goes, I just want you to know I believe in Satan. It's good. I didn't have enough time, but I was going to tell her I believe in him too. The devils also believe, and they tremble. Well, they believe in God, and they tremble. Yeah. I said, I don't know if she was saying it to scare me or to get me like, that's going to change what I'm doing all of a sudden because somebody here in Allentown believes in Satan. There's a lot of people in Allentown that believe in Satan. Just come out on a street corner for a second and you'll find out how many people, we worship Satan, glory to Satan, absolutely. So, but the Bible says here that, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Take your Bible, look at Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. I've never done a message on Satan before, but it's quite interesting. And I hope we can learn something from Satan this evening. Look at Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1. At this point, Satan has now been cast down to the earth from Revelation chapter 12. And we go into Revelation chapter 13 and we find here in verse number 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, this is John, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast, this is the Antichrist, we're not going to go into it this evening, but this is the Antichrist. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and a dragon. That dragon is Satan. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, I'm not going into this study tonight, but it makes you wonder. It appears that the Antichrist, I don't know, some part during the tribulation, he receives an injury, and his injury looks like he's either dies from this injury, or it appears that he dies, is wounded from this injury, and this dragon gives him life again, or it appears that this dragon gives him life, and all the world wonder after the beast because of this. Now, verse number 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? All right. So the dragon gives life unto the beast, and that dragon is Satan himself. Now, I want to show you something here about Satan this evening. Take your Bible, look over at Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, And I want to look at verse number 8. Matthew 4, verse number 8. Matthew 4, verse 8, the Bible says this. It says, again, the devil taketh him up in an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, I'm not going to go through this whole story, but if you look back up at verse number 1 of chapter 4, it says, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness. For what purpose, the Bible says here? To be tempted of the devil. Now, one thing I want you to realize this evening is, if the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be led by the Holy Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, what do we think of where we're at today? If the devil has enough gumption to try to take on Jesus Christ, what will he do with us? Or what will he attempt with us? You see, the devil has been in the presence of God. The devil has tried to take on Jesus Christ. The devil has tried to take on some of the great men of the Bible. We are nothing to the devil. And for us to get in our mind, or any churches out there that get in their mind that they think that they can just take on the devil, you're insane. You're insane. The devil, now listen to me this evening, the devil is nobody to be trifled with or to be taken lightly. Okay? So Jesus is led into the wilderness and he's tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. He doesn't eat anything. And the Bible says in verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He starts questioning who Jesus Christ is. If you're really the Son of God, I want you to do this. And I want you to recognize this about the devil, is the devil always wants control. He doesn't care how he gets it. He doesn't care how it comes about. He just wants to dictate and have control over your life. Even as a believer, you say, preacher, the devil can't do nothing to me. He can't touch me. He can't get near me. I'm blood bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you don't understand your Bible. The devil can mess with you. The devil can do things, and if the Lord allows it to occur, the devil can do things. Now, he can't take your salvation. He can't kill you unless God wants him. He can't do things outside of what God allows him to do. But there's nothing more the devil would like to do than to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And if he's going to come at Jesus and question him and try to get Jesus to jump when he says jump, he's going to do the same to us. I said this before, brethren, if the devil can't keep you out of your Bible, he's going to dictate how you read your Bible. And if the devil can't keep you from praying, he's going to dictate how you do pray. He's going to try to get you to pray when God wants you to read your Bible, and he's going to get you to try to read your Bible when God says, I want you to pray. And it all starts right here in thoughts that he puts into your mind. The devil comes to Jesus and he starts questioning Jesus. Satan wants nothing more than to be worshipped. Look down here at verse number 10. I'm not going to go through the whole story here with Jesus and the devil. You can read it later on. But look at verse number 9, or verse number 8 again. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You know what the devil wants? He wants mankind, he wants Jesus Christ to fall down and worship him. He wants what God has. All worship, all praise, all glory is to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the devil says, I want to be like God. I want that worship. I want that adoration. I want you to praise and glorify me. And he's trying to get Jesus to do it. Brethren, he knows who Jesus Christ is. But he thinks, I got him because he's come as a man. Look what the Bible says next in verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The first thing I want you to realize about Satan is he wants worship. And it's the exact same thing that the Antichrist is going to want. He's going to want worship. He's going to want the whole world to fall down and worship him. Brethren, we need to be careful. Because you know what's being put across in our society today and what people are looking for and desiring, especially in the social media side? They're wanting people to worship them. They're wanting worship. They're wanting mankind to worship them in some way, shape, or form. That's why they post all the pictures of themselves, because they want to hear good things about them, and that is worship, and that is the way of the devil. We should, as Christians, go away from that and say, no, all worship and all glory and honor is to Jesus Christ. None to me, all to him. But our what's being put across to our kids today, and that's why so many young people are taking their life. Because when they don't receive that worship, when they don't receive that honor, when they don't receive that glory, when people don't get it, actually it goes the other way, then the devil comes in and says, you're not worth it. Just take your life. And they go take their life. Brethren, it's an epidemic today. Because I think the devil's behind it all. And he's getting mankind to destroy himself. Now, Satan takes pleasure thoroughly and enjoy. Well, take your Bible now and look at Job chapter 1. So number one, Satan wants worship, just like the Antichrist. Number two, Satan despises the authority of God. And Satan, this is just blow. Brethren, I'm telling you what, God is something else. The Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, they're something else. Because the long-suffering of God, even towards Satan, is amazing. That God puts up with him. And that God the Father just doesn't say, I'm done, get away from me, you're being destroyed forever, I'm done with this. But God allows it to go on for his purposes and his reasons. Look at Job chapter 1 and look at verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth now thine hand, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Satan's saying this to God. Get the picture in your mind here. Satan has come before God with the sons of God. They're appearing before God there in heaven, and God looks at Satan and says, where you been? He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth. I've been going up and down the earth, and I'm looking, and I ain't found nobody. And God says, well, have you considered my servant Job? He's a man that fears me. He eschews evil. He does good. There's none like him. He's a perfect and an upright man. And Satan looks at him and says, yeah, you know, the only reason he's doing it is because you keep protecting him. You put a hedge around Job. Basically, you put a wall around him. I can't get in there and touch him. And if you let me get in there and touch him, he'd curse you to your face, God. Now imagine for a moment if you were God. And this thing that you created is now talking to you. Yeah, exactly. Poof, gone. That's what we would do. If we were honest, we'd be like, you're gone. Actually, no, that's too nice. You're going to stick around and I'm going to deal with you. Satan has got an attitude towards God, and basically he's telling God, God, the only reason this man's serving you is because you're giving him everything. You won't let me touch him. You let me touch him and he'll curse you to your face, I guarantee it. Satan has no problem coming against God. No problem coming against God, and no problem talking to God. Brethren, look at chapter 1 here. Look at verse number 20. So Satan goes and he destroys Job. Verses 13 through 19, Job loses basically everything. Look at verse number 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, I don't know how long I'll be going tonight talking about this, but I pray we get this here, and I pray God help me explain it. You know why God allows you to go through things? For lack, and I'm not trying to be irreverent with this, it's almost like God could have put it back into Satan's face. Saying, see, he loves me, even if you move my hand against him to take everything away he's got, guess what, Satan? He still loves me. And he still won't curse me to my face. So guess what, Satan? You're wrong. But how can God have the ability to do that towards Satan if his servant isn't willing to go through it and trust his God? You see, God's glory and power cannot be manifest except that servant be willing to go through it. And God can look at it and say, listen, I'm here, trust me, follow me, serve me, and I'll help you through it. Even if I allow Satan to take everything away from you, listen, I'll be there for you. And Job trusted God. And Job had enough sense in his mind to say, naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going in. God's given, God's taken away. Blessed be the name of God. Brethren, we get in trouble in this life when we think that we own any part of this life. Brethren, I've said this before from this pulpit, and I'll continue to say it. The only reason you're here this evening is because God's allowed you to be here. There's not one of you, I said it before, there's not one of you tonight. Now, you might do it tonight because I mentioned it. I don't even do it, and I preached it so many times, I can't even remember how many times I preached it. But there's very few times where I lay my head on a pillow at night. Actually, I can't even say there's really any times I do it. To where I get ready to go to sleep at night, and as I get ready to go to sleep, I say, okay, heart, I'm getting ready to go to bed now, and the heart, I need you to keep beating through the night until I wake up again. No, you don't think about that. You lay your head on a pillow tonight, and you might drift off to sleep, and as you drift off to sleep, and you ain't having nothing to do with it. You ain't having nothing to do with your heart beating right now. There's not one of you in this room that right now is going, hang on, preacher, take a 5-minute break. We got to get this thing beating again. You don't even think about it. You probably haven't thought about your heart beating for a long time unless you've got heart issues. If you have no heart issues or no health issues, you probably take it for granted every day that thing right there is going to keep going, da-doon, da-doon, da-doon. And you know what amazes me about God? I used to preach this in a juvenile center all the time to these kids. I said, you give me a piece of equipment that I could start running it for 96 straight years and not have to stop it one time to do maintenance on it. And it keeps on going. Think about that for a second. Someone that's 96 years old, that heart hasn't taken one vacation. If it takes a vacation, you're taking a vacation. Permanently. But please think about that tonight. However old you are tonight, that thing has kept going from the time it was in your mother's womb. And it hasn't stopped. What keeps it going? Well, science and blah, 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 blah. Stop. It makes no sense. It makes no sense outside of God. Amen. And you go to sleep at night, and that thing keeps beating to keep you alive. You know why? Because God, the Bible says, God's got the very breath you breathe in his hands. And at any moment, Job knew this, at any moment, God could say, I'm taking it back. Because you did not give yourself life. God's given life. God has given life. And Job had a proper perspective on it. He says, naked I came in this world, and guess what? Naked I'm going out, but God's been good, and I'm going to trust God. And if he chooses to take everything away, he's still been good to me, and I'm not going to curse him. You see, Satan desires worship like God. Satan desires the authority that God has. And Satan will try to get you to lose your integrity. Stay here in the book of Job and look at chapter 2 again and verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. Now the word integrity means this. The entire, unimpaired state of anything. Particularly of the mind. Moral soundness or purity. Uprightness, honesty. Satan will try to get you to lose your honesty. He'll try to get you from losing to live for God and living righteously. He's going to try to corrupt you, to corrupt your integrity. Look what the Bible says here. Chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So round number 2 for Job, verse number 2. And the Lord said to Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Now look at verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And look what God says to Satan. And Satan, he says this to Satan, "And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, destroy him without cause." Verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So God says to Satan, "Listen, we're going to go forward with this one again. I don't know why you keep moving my hand against him, because there's no cause for me to move my hand against Job." But Satan looks at God and says, Satan says to the Lord, "Lord, skin for skin. You touch Job's flesh, you take away his health, you make him miserable in a disease, and he'll curse you to your face." God says, "Okay. You can go and touch him in his health, but you can't take his life." So God tells Satan, "Listen, you can do what you want to do to Job, you just can't kill him." Look at verse 7 says, "So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes." Brethren, I'm going to tell you something about Satan. I believe Satan's got power. I believe this about Satan. I believe there's people that have sold their soul to Satan, and God's taken some little podunk rock band in a garage somewhere, and they made a deal with Satan, and all of a sudden now they're rock stars overnight. I had to deal with kids in the juvenile center with tears in their eyes, because they're like, "Chap, what do I do? When I was younger, I sold my soul to the devil. Can I still be saved? I don't know what to do." And I said, "Yes, you can still be saved." But they had made some foolish decisions when they were younger, messing around with things they ought not to mess around with. Because there is a real Satan, there are real devils, and you don't mess around with that realm. Brethren, I don't know why I'm going to... You don't mess around with the Ouija boards. They're real. They work. And you know how sly Satan is and how he tries to get into young kids' heads? My wife and I, a couple weeks ago, we were showing Eliana just some of the things that we grew up as little kids. And we were telling her about Sesame Street. And so we showed her a little clip with Big Bird. And Big Bird's talking to somebody, and he's talking about, and he mentions an Ouija board. Very sly, very slick, and very quick. We rewound it. We were like, "Did he just say what I thought he said? Big Bird talking about an Ouija board?" There's more behind these things than we think, brethren. Why are you saying that to little kids? And look where we're at to today. Brethren, I say all that to say this. Satan wants nothing more to destroy you. And Satan will play games. Look, if you reject Jesus Christ and you go your own way, you might have the life you want to have. You might get the things you want to get. You may do the things you want to do. And all the while, Satan's pushing you along saying, "Go for it, go for it, get it, go for it, go for it." But then when it gets towards the end and you're getting ready to cross over, you're getting ready to step off into eternity, all of a sudden he pulls the sheet back and says, "Ha ha." Before you know it, it's too late, because you just done crossed over into eternity. Brethren, you better not wait till you're right here at the edge and you're getting ready to cross over to figure out, uh-oh, and you're dropping. And Satan says, I got you. Because look what he does when he's given the opportunity to a man. He wants to destroy him. Satan hates mankind so bad that he takes this innocent man here and fills his body with sores and boils, so much so that this man has taken broken up pottery and he's trying to scrape himself to bring relief to the pain that he's in that God has allowed Satan to do. But it's not over yet. Look what happens in verse number 9. Now I want you to look back up verse number 3. If you don't underline it in your Bible, I want you to make a note in your Bible. But God puts something forth to Satan, and Satan grabs a hold of it. And it says there in the middle of verse number 3, and he still holdeth fast his integrity. Then you jump down to verse number 5, and the last couple words of verse number 5, Satan says, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now look at verse number 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now you tell me who's speaking there. The devil is using his wife to get him to curse God and lose his integrity. Brother, we need to make sure that we're never the mouthpiece of Satan. We need to make sure that we're never the mouthpiece of Satan. Satan didn't say, who's the one that knows about this integrity thing? God and Satan. As far as I know, nobody else is in on this thing about Job retaining his integrity. Why all of a sudden now is his wife coming to him and saying, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Look what she says next. Curse God and die. Who wants nothing more than this man to curse God? Satan. Satan says, if you touch his skin, he'll curse you to your face. And now his wife says to him, dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Verse 10. But Job, this is what Job says to his wife. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. What a man. What a man, that man Job, and his willingness to stay close to God. But you know what? Satan will try to get you to lose your integrity. Next, Satan will try to provoke you and get you to respond in the flesh rather than in the spirit. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 106 and verse number 32. Psalm 106 and verse number 32. Psalm 106 and verse number 32. Satan will try to get us to speak unadvisedly, and he's done it with the best of them. Look at Psalm 106 and verse 32. This is dealing with Moses and the children of Israel. Look what the Bible says here. It says, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisably with his lips. You see, Satan wants to try to push you. Satan wants to try to try you. Satan wants to try to get you in situations to where you'll speak unadvisably with your lips so that he can then bring accusation before God because of something that you said. May God help us to watch our lips, to set a guard over our lips, and not to be provoked to do something or say something that God doesn't want us to say. Another thing about Satan, Satan will attempt to resist those who are in authority and in positions in service of God. Take your Bible, look at Zechariah chapter 3. I guess what I'm trying to get across to you this evening is that though Satan, I want you to realize this evening, and I've said it before, and I'm sure most of you know this, that Satan can only be in one place at one time. Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time. He is a created being, and he can only be in one place at one time. But I do want you to realize that the Bible does say that he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the way I think he does that is through those that serve him, the fallen angels or the devils that are there with him that followed him when he got kicked out of heaven. Look at Zechariah 3 verse 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with the change of raiment. And I said, Let him set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. But I want you to realize there that Satan stood right there with the Lord and tried to resist. Tried to resist him. Brethren, we need to be aware at the workings of the enemy. You say, Preacher, that's the Old Testament. Well, look over here in the book of Acts, chapter number 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Satan hates God's people. There's two groups that I believe Satan hates the most, and that's the Jews and Bible-believing Christians that stand upon the Word of God, that are born again, that are saved, that are striving to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan hates them, hates them. Look at Acts chapter 7 and look at verse number 51. Stephen just got done preaching, and the Holy Ghost is upon the preaching of Stephen. And look what Stephen says at the very end of his message. He says, Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Look at verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid there on their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans, take your Bible, hold your hand here and look over at Romans chapter 8. And we're going to close here. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 28. Very familiar scripture, but I want to read it. Look at Romans 8, 28. And hold your hand there. I'm still going to go back over to Acts chapter 7 as we close out. I believe Satan was behind the workings of them killing Stephen. They wanted Stephen dead. They couldn't stand what Stephen stood for. He stood for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ unto them. He was rebuking them of their idolatry and their witchcraft, and they hated him for it. But look at Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Brethren, we know the Bible says that all things will work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Look back over here and look at the absolute good that comes from Stephen being willing to be obedient, even obedient unto death. We look here and we look here at verse number 58 and look at the latter part of that verse, and it says, And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. You see, we might look at that, and believers at that time, as I close out here, I want to close out with this story we just read here. Stephen's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, Stephen's going through the history of the Jewish people trying to get them to see their Messiah. And at the very end, they hate him for what he said. And they begin picking up stones because they're going to kill him. And the devil's behind the fuel of it because he's a murderer and he's a father of liars. And he's behind this thing, no doubt, to get them to kill this man who is putting forth the truth of God. And they're picking up stones. And as they're getting ready to pick up stones, they're taking off their jackets. And they're coming up to Saul and they're laying their jackets at his feet. He's sitting there watching. They're picking up the stones and they go over and they start killing Stephen. And over there in the corner where the clothes are laid and the jackets are laid at Saul's feet, Saul is sitting there and he's watching. And he's watching. And he's watching Stephen. And he's looking at the peace that Stephen has. Paul knows the Bible. Paul knows the scriptures. Stephen, in his own words, just gave Paul the Old Testament. Paul's listening. Paul's watching. Paul's paying attention. Stephen's saying this, and now Stephen's looking up towards heaven. He's got a peace. And right before he passes off the scene, he prays out a prayer, basically, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Kind of the same thing that Jesus Christ did. And he says, Lord, don't lay this to their charge. And he falls asleep, and his face was as the face of an angel. And Paul, as Saul, is watching it all. He didn't get saved right there. But Saul was paying attention. And Saul had a heart and was zealous for truth. And God used what seemed to be horrendous for something good to bring Paul to the Lord Jesus Christ and then the man who wrote most of the New Testament. You see, I love how God always gets around on Satan. Satan meant it for harm. God used it for good. And it can do the same thing in our lives if we'll just stay faithful. And we'll finish up next week the last few things I got about Satan, but we are not to be ignorant of his devices. So hopefully tonight you picked up something from the Word of God. We'll try to go over it more. Lord willing, maybe next Sunday we'll try to finish this up. But I'm telling you, we've got to be aware of who our adversary is and who really our fight should be towards. And that Satan and his legions, and we're to go forward not in our might. If we go forward in our might, we'll get destroyed real quick. But if we go forward in the armor of the Lord Jesus Christ and the armor that he's given us to put on and go forward in the power of his might, we can gain the victory for the day over the enemy, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for these precious promises. God, I thank you that you allow us to learn about Satan. God, we're not to dwell on this all the time. But Lord, you did put some things in here about Satan. So Lord, help us to learn. Learn about his tactics. Learn how he operates, dear God. So that we're not ignorant of his devices. Lord, that we can stand fast and hold fast the truths that are contained in this book. Lord, till you call us home someday. Lord, help these precious brethren as they go out through this week, dear God, if you allow, to put on the full armor of God and fight the good fight of faith, Lord, that we might finish our course and keep the faith. Lord, I do pray tonight that if these things that I spoke about this evening are foreign, and Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's not truly been saved and born again, dear God, I pray you'd help them to see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, that you came into this world to save sinners. And Lord, those that will place their faith and trust in you can be saved and born again. So Lord, please work. Please help us, dear God. And please help us to stay faithful. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. And we ask it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.